Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lipid Luke Cutforth.
Get me some wee gubby.
This week we're talking about strategic scales and worryless weights, but first I've got a question for you, Luke.
Oh god, you've always got questions for me, Corey. When will you let me rest?
Never. I'm like your child. I will never let you rest. How much do you weigh? Your answer must use no numbers.
Oh, enough? But not too much. Just right. Just like Goldilocks's favorite bed.
Bed? No, porridge? Porridge.
I think they were right, weren't they?
Crucially, they weren't all just right.
Only one
of them was just right.
I wasn't paying attention.
Of the porridge and, I suppose, of the bread. But, like, you know, porridge
the
came...
The bread?
The bread?
The bed. What? Which version of... I mean, I know I wasn't paying
attention. She has some porridge and then
but...
she has some bread.
And the bread was just right.
The bread was just right, of course. You know? Do you remember how people tried to make out that, like, the mummy bear having, like, really cold porridge was because she made hers and, like, had it sitting out there.
Yeah.
And then got the baby ones just right for the baby. Mm-hmm. And the dad's just, like, super hot the way he likes it. Mm. And because she, you know, she was thinking of them, that hers went cold. And it was, like, a whole sexism thing. And you know me, I'm, like, super for the cause of sex, against the cause of sex. I am, like, a pro-feminist.
As the only parent in the room, I would like to...
Yeah. So it took me a second to figure that out. I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, go on.
Unless you've got one hiding behind the curtains. I'd like to add a little bit of context to this. So the whole idea was like mummy bear is like feeding baby bear. Mm-hmm. And so mummy bear's thing gets cold. Baby bear's is just right because mummy's really good at dinner. And daddy bear's is really hot because he likes it and daddy doesn't feed the baby. I would like to add, as a parent now, mm-hmm. a little bit of context to this, which is actually that in my house what happens is that... I eat really quickly. That's why mine's too hot, because mm-hmm. I eat it immediately so that I can then do the feeding after I've quickly wolfed down my food.
But you don't eat food the way a normal person does. You don't enjoy food.
No.
No, you just...
inhale
I've seen you eat it.
Yeah,
it's like you don't like food the way a normal person does. I don't think you...
I like it in my tummy.
Yeah, but when you say you dislike foods... it's hard to tell because you eat them exactly the same way that you eat other foods.
It's usually the texture. If it's if it's slimy, then like get away from me. Or if it's got like surprising bits, then no, thank you.
Good to know. So Ben and Jerry's ice cream is out. Too many surprising bits.
As long as I know about it, it's fine. Well, that's not true because I do know about some of the things I don't like and I still don't like them.
That's good to know. It's good to know about the things that you don't like. Immigrants, for example.
What
you
the
don't
hell?
Like. You don't like immigrants. You've said that many times off the pod.
What the hell?
No?
We weren't going to talk about that, Corey.
Oh, I apologize. No. You're going to walk out of this interview. Right?
I want to be really clear. I don't like... I did not say that. I never said that, and I don't think it. Thank you very much.
What was the end of that sentence going to be?
I don't like the things that you are saying about me, which are lies.
No, no, just say... come on. Who are you? What group were we talking about?
We were talking about me.
Yeah.
Me. I'm a group.
No, you're categorically not a group.
I'm a category of one.
You are like
I'm a group of cells.
You are explicitly not a group. You are absolutely like the only value of person beyond zero that could not be a group.
I'm a billion cells dressed up pretending to be a person.
I'm so confused, Luke. Just say immigrant. But why will you not say it? Do you think that I am going to cut the bit where you say I don't like and then put in you saying immigrant immediately afterwards so it sounds as though you said you don't like immigrants? Is that what you're worried about, Luke?
No, I'm worried about all the people...
mm. Stop. Who are coming to our country.
I don't know where this has come from. Usually,
they come from places like Poland sometimes, or a lot from Africa, the Caribbean as well, right? And those are the ones you hate the most. Go and tell everyone why, Luke.
You usually misinterpret something I've said, or like I say something.
And now I'm interpreting you correctly.
No, now... this has just come out of nowhere.
Exactly. That's what your problem with it is, right? They've come out of nowhere.
They've not come out of nowhere. They've come out of the country of their origin.
And they should go back to the country of their... That's what you're saying.
If they wish.
That's
sure.
what you're saying.
No. If they want to go back, then that's fine.
And if they don't want to go back, what then?
Well, I don't know.
How many immigrant friends do you have, Luke?
Some.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just some.
Some.
Okay. Just the good ones.
I've not got a list. I've not counted them.
A what you're going through.
It's like when you have like a best friend list in school. I just write down all of my friends who weren't born in this country for some reason, apparently.
Jesus.
Where did this come from? Why did you come into this
episode?
What
is your
like?
Obsession with knowing where things come from, Luke? I think that's really... That just highlights how focused you are on origins and how anti-immigrant you really are. What were we talking about? We were talking about your weight, no numbers, and you were adequate. We were talking about mummy bear.
Yes.
So you...
I finished my point.
That you just eat food quickly.
I eat food quickly and then I take over and swap with my wife.
That's fair. So that's your sort of non-traditional lifestyle choice, and that's okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
Feeding your child.
Yeah.
As a daddy bear,
is that
I
a
guess?
Lifestyle choice? Feeding my child. I suppose there's a lot of men who don't feed the child, so I suppose it is a lifestyle choice.
It's a very it's a non-traditional lifestyle choice. It's just the same as being gay, but sure. Less fun outfits. So
it's, no, hey, but by the time my baby's thrown loads of food at me, it's a really fun outfit.
Look, what I was gonna say is that like I feel like you could just keep your food, especially porridge. Mm. Porridge is not going to be made worse by just sitting in the pot for a little bit. You feed baby bear, just leave yours in the pot, heat it up a little bit, and then go. I don't think it's the plight of mummy bear, that she's having cold porridge all the time. It's a plight because her husband isn't engaging enough or pulling his weight when it comes to the childcare, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that is the case, and that's an issue in and of itself. But I would argue... the problem of the cold porridge, the root of that, when we really dig into it, doesn't come from sort of sexist gender roles. It just comes from a lack of planning. Really just poor skills when it comes to food preparing,
Yeah.
That'd be my argument there.
Wow.
Again, pro-feminism, anti-sexism. But that's just my two cents, That's my take on the Goldilocks.
Well, you're so valid.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm here to stand up for women, whether they're bears, whether they're...
But not if they have poor cooking skills.
Well, no, I want to support them, and you can't expect a bear to have good cooking skills.
You want to mansplain cooking to the woman.
Okay, what so why are you assuming that it's mansplaining, right? Why are you assuming that a woman necessarily has more cooking knowledge than I do? When I'm the one that prepares food in my house. What are you trying to say about women and their innate ability to cook, Luke? Huh?
To be fair, your house is two men, so it doesn't really count. But anyway.
Whoa, okay. So two men don't count to Luke Cutforth. I hate immigrants. I hate same-sex relationships. And I hate women, says Luke Cutforth. What do you have to say about that, Luke? I've been listening to a lot of LBC, could you tell?
Just want to cry. My point was that in your scenario, you're saying that the mummy bear is the one who did the cooking.
Yeah.
And so you're going to mansplain cooking to this woman who's done the cooking.
Well, she's doing a poor job of it, evidently. If she is eating cold porridge every day, keep the porridge in the pot, okay? Heat it up once you're... Chuck it in the microwave even. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a problem. Like, and speak to your husband, obviously, but if cooking and feeding the baby is out of the question, right? If that's like a non-starter, first of all, divorce. But if you want to even ignore that, right? Mummy bear can do something to help the situation, which is use a microwave. If they can't afford the microwave, just keep it in the pot.
She's going to have real dry, sticky porridge if she does that. But
just have a second
basically pot. Rice pudding.
Have a second pot of porridge, right?
Yeah.
Start that maybe 10
so
minutes after
she
the
to
first
cook
one.
Two meals.
No, it's porridge.
Double the labor.
Look, it
wow.
is porridge. Is it more work to put like the same amount of oats and milk and whatever it is into a pot, right? And just have that going at like a slightly staggered time? No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it is more work.
It's not.
To answer your question, it is more work.
Oh, it's more work insofar as it's the same amount of pouring. And all of that, okay? It's just more work in that you've got to turn it on one more time.
This is a class A pedantry going on here.
Well, look, I'm not talking about baby bear at all, so I don't know how pedantry is. Oh, right, different. Never mind, I got confused.
Wow, jeez. Baby bear needs to hurry up eating. I think that's the answer.
Wow, Luke attacking children.
grow the fuck up, baby bear.
And speaking of baby bear and eating, let's talk about the topic for today.
Yeah,
which was scales, children, numberless, all of the things that are maybe in the title or maybe not. I've seen this before, by the way. I'll get into the topic in a second.
Okay.
But just a few other things to hash out here. I saw someone comment saying, we did know that this was the topic because it was in the title. I don't decide the titles until I'm uploading it.
You should just start putting really misleading titles in just to get those people.
It's called clickbait.
No, clickbait is where you kind of like, you exaggerate. I mean, just say that this is an episode about nuclear fusion and then it's just not.
I mean, everything when it comes down to it is about nuclear fusion.
Because of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
And stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, where would we be without the sun?
You're so right.
Well, we wouldn't have sexy ladies to look at, I'll tell you that much. Page 3.
Standing on the mountains standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, yeah.
Giant stars. And supermassive. No, that's black holes. Let's not stand on those.
Oh, why? Would you stand on a white hole, Luke?
Stop! Hmm? Okay. You have reached your quota of saying I'm racist, sexist.
Oh, am I being too episode. Uppity
you
for
can
you?
Can save it for the next episode.
Should I know my place?
I'm just saying that in most episodes you do this a few times, and you've now, I think maybe like the entirety of this year, you've used up your limit.
Just another example of the white man trying to keep me down. But I'll persist nonetheless. So the NHS, you heard of them, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
What do they do? What's
big
their
fan.
Shtick?
They kind
no,
of
I'm not a big fan. It's actually a National Health Service. It's in the name, Luke.
I get those two mixed up all the time. They kind of like help you eventually.
I mean, yeah, maybe. So. Well,
when the government finally gives them some money, they get around to it.
Yeah, it's like having a really, really awesome car, right? A really great car. It can go super fast. And then you just slash the tires of it every other week. Just cause.
Yeah, I was going to say it needs like a really long software update, but I had a really incredible, sorry, another tangent on this like NHS topic. Incredible experience with the NHS recently, which didn't make any sense. And I get that there's issues and there's, you know, funding issues, all that stuff. It was just really weird. Mm-hmm. Where my
you could
baby
be talking about yourself there, by the way.
What?
I get that there's issues, yeah. Sort of funny issues and stuff, but it's really weird. Carry on.
Funding. I didn't say funny issues.
Oh, funding.
Funny issues.
Yeah,
there's
you
a
got
funny. Of
funny
issues in the NHS.
Yeah, funny little issues, you know.
Oh, underpaid doctors. Oh, overworked junior doctors. Ooh, what fun.
Oh, God. Look, you got to stop it. You got to stop.
Anyway, so my baby decided to crawl off the edge of the bed and land on her head and do a flip.
You get about like two or three good drops in a baby, though.
Yeah,
before it starts to kick in.
Well, it was onto like a mat, like onto a soft mat.
Cool, that didn't even count then.
It was fine, yeah. But I called the I live opposite the doctor, right? So mm-hmm. The doctor is over the road. I called them up and I said, the NHS, by the way, the advice is when this happens, if the baby seems fine, you should call the doctor. Mm-hmm. But like, do call the doctor, but don't do nothing. Mm-hmm. So I called the doctor and they said, oh, we're too busy. We can't see her. You'll have to drive to A&E, which my A&E is 45 minutes away in the car. I'm on my own and I have a baby that the NHS at least is worried might have concussion. Mm-hmm. And I say, I live over the road. Like, is there literally, like, could you not see me at any point? You want me to drive with the baby in the backseat on my own that might have concussion, that might fall asleep. All those dangers. Apparently that might not even be a thing, the falling asleep thing. But then, and they were like, yes, that's what we'd like you to do. And I was like, you don't see that that's insane?
Yeah.
That is insane.
That's kind of wild, yeah.
Yeah.
I have an opposite experience with the NHS recently, but carry on with your story.
Was it a good one?
I mean, it wasn't my experience.
Okay. Well, I mean, there was loads of other things in this story, but do I really want to bore you with the details of this story?
I don't want to be bored. No.
Okay.
Cool. I don't think anyone listening wants to be bored either.
Okay.
Generally, look, I would say when it comes to the podcast, non-boring stories only. Yeah.
Right, I'll sit in silence then.
I mean, actually, to be honest, when it comes to you and me, non-boring story, I do not want to be bored by you at all, ever.
Oh, well, thank goodness you never have.
Okay.
You're in a real mean mood today.
What? No!
Who hurt you?
Do you want a list?
Who hurt you today?
Do you want a list?
Sorry, non-boring stories only.
Luke Cutford. No, so Noah was playing outside the other day and he got some glass in his eye.
Sorry, this just sounds like you sent either your child or a puppy out into the garden the way you're telling this story.
Well, look, that's your view, Luke, okay? And that's not endorsed by me. Anyway, Noah was playing outside in the garden and he threw a bit of glass to get it away from him.
Yeah, the classic way of getting rid of a piece of glass.
Well, there's glass in our vegetable patch bit.
Throw it somewhere else.
There's so much glass, Luke. Anyway, he threw it down behind, there's a sort of brick wall just in front of another wall in our garden.
Mm.
He threw it behind that wall, and it immediately bounced back out a little bit of glass and landed in his eye. Right.
What?
Yeah. What are the chances? right?
Glass doesn't bounce?
Yes, it does. Glass is incredibly bouncy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, the glass is very bouncy. It just usually shatters before it bounces. But again, a shard of glass, he threw it, a shard of glass broke off from the larger piece and bounced into his eye.
Incredible magic.
Right. Now, he comes in, I'm doing the dishes, he comes in and he says, I've got something in my eye. And I'm like, give me a second, I'll look at it. And he's like, no, look at it now. And I'm like, give me just a second to finish what he's like, I think it's glass in my eye. And I'm like, lead with that.
This is still, lead with that. By the way, this is still just tracking as a story of a parent with a silly child.
Okay. That's your view, okay? And I do not endorse it. So he comes in, and again, he does not lead with the pertinent information, which is, I have glass in my eyeball. Mm. Literally in my eyeball.
Of my own doing.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, glass? Okay, cool. Suddenly went into, there's glass in your eye mode, which is a little bit more, I would say, active and proactive even than... I think I might have something in my eye mode, you know? Anyways, we're looking at it. There's glass in there. What? I can't see glass in there, crucially. Then he's like, oh, it doesn't hurt anymore. So we go to the doctors. And before we go, I'm like, okay, tell them that it really hurts. Because if you say that you think it's fine and it doesn't hurt anymore, the glass is probably just, I've not seen it come out. It's probably shifted around. Mm. Like I got grit in my eye once. It shifted around the back and it scratched it all up. Wasn't great. Anyways, we go to the hospital after calling 111 and everything. And it's all sorted out really quickly. It's great, actually. We get seen by the eye. I think it was a nurse, not a doctor. But yeah, the NHS worked great. Just great. Get glass in your eye. Go in there. They look at your eye. They take it out. Although every single one was kind of rude. One of them was horribly rude. Like, do you know that face that white women make when they're about to ruin your life? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And I mean this specifically white women because it's this kind of, like, power that they've got within the system wherein they can be, like, really, really horrible to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're protected by their whiteness.
Right.
Anyways, so she was like this nurse, not a nurse, she was this receptionist. And we go up, you know, Noah dressed the way he dresses and me looking the way that I look. And we're like, hey, where's the eye clinic? And she's like, it's just down there and to the right. And we're like, oh, okay, so we've just come from there. And we couldn't find it.
Something
there was no
eye.
One there. Yeah,
exactly. They should have the signs.
And she was like,
the signs of the eye clinic should be really big.
Yeah, or in Braille. And she was like, it's just down there and to the right. And I think there would have been people there because there's a reception desk there, and so there will be a receptionist there actually. And we're like, okay, we're not trying to argue with you. You know, say that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Like obviously, two people who have never been to this hospital before and are lost. Mm-hmm. We've been down. We've just come from that place that you've pointed us to, and we couldn't find it. So is there any other information? She's like, it's just down there and to the right.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, this is a hospital setting and you're just the rudest fucking
I'm
person ever.
I'm always amazed. I mean, obviously, I've never worked at the NHS. I am always amazed that the amount of people you come across in a sort of care medical setting who like really don't like people.
Yeah.
Like, and it may be like, maybe they start off their life and they're like really like wide-eyed and I just want to help, and then the system grinds them down. I have no idea, but like,
you've never been a part of the system, have you?
Well, yeah, I was self-employed since I was 15. Whoop. But I mean specifically the NHS system. Yeah. But like, yeah, it just always astounds me when like, just why do you not like anyone?
Yeah, look, I'll give them, everyone else, a pass.
Yeah,
because they were rude in a like, oh man, I'm exhausted way.
Mm-hmm.
But not like overtly rude. This first receptionist was, from the second that we walked up to her, her face put this, she had this little smile of, I hate you.
But maybe that's the point. Maybe they want people like that. They're like gatekeepers. She's like, you have to get past this first, like this first boss. And
it's
then
not a trial for a dungeon, Luke. It's the NHS to go to an appointment with an eye doctor that the 111 set up.
No, I know, but what I mean is like the NHS is like, it's strapped for cash, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people who like ask stupid questions. They don't know what they're doing. They're entitled, all that kind of stuff. You kind of don't want someone who's quite nice and amiable, because they'll just be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll like, that's what I do, like, if I was an NHS receptionist.
If someone has like, you know, special needs or, you know, some kind of, you really want someone who's an absolute prick from the outset.
Yeah, yeah, like my doctor that one time, I asked if I could get assessed for something.
Yeah, yeah. Luke, you seem to have a sort of pattern of rationalizing bad behavior from others fibers as a good thing.
Oh God, we're here again.
Okay. Yeah, we're here again.
Let's talk about, what is it? Fats? Fat lipids?
Jesus Christ, Luke. We're talking about obese children.
You called me a lipid. That's a fat. I mean the fat, the chemical, not like just the fats, like they're a race of people who are overweight. What the hell?
Okay, which race of people are overweight then? Since you're going to bring it up. Go on.
There's some in all of them. There are.
Okay, whatever. So these kids, right, they're obese. Lots of kids are obese. How many kids are obese?
Worldwide, 40%.
Really?
Don't know, probably.
Wow, that's a high number. I didn't look this up.
I think in America it's more than half of people.
I mean, Americans, yeah. And it's America, Australia, we're all pretty overweight, aren't we?
Right.
But anyways, I don't know how many kids are overweight. I didn't look it up for this. Not really relevant. But what I will tell you is some of the results from an analysis that was presented at the European Congress on Obesity in Malaga from researchers from Leeds Beckett University, Sheffield Hallam University, the University of Leeds, and the University of Bristol. Jesus Christ, so many bloody universities, you know what I mean?
Too many.
Too many. Mm. Just one university.
Thanks, Nick Clegg.
Why not just Oxford, Cambridge, and UCL, the one that I went to?
You elitist. Pig.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to be... I don't know whether it's just the fact that I went to UCL and so I notice when it's mentioned, but like almost every single news thing about some kind of scientific discovery, it's, oh, researchers at UCL did this. And I'm like, wow, they really produce good scientists.
Yeah, what are you doing?
And then me. Yeah, I don't know what happened with me.
You're the anomaly they ignore in the data.
Yeah, very much an outlier.
You're just this little dot over here.
See, I wouldn't ignore myself as an anomaly in the data, which is why I am an anomaly. I just take all the that's bad science, you see. It's a science joke. Yeah, you wouldn't get it.
I didn't get it.
Did you go to UCL for science?
No.
Nah, then this joke's maybe a little bit over your head, I think. So CEW clinics. Oh God, what does that stand for?
Cool
evil weight. Cool energy weight. complications from excess weight.
Ah,
it was literally right in front of me. I couldn't see it in my notes.
Cool energy weight, man.
So complications from excess weight clinics, right?
Uh-huh.
CEW clinics, we're going to be calling them from now on. Or, oh my God, this is really bad. Okay. Mm. And people might say this is offensive. Okay. It might be torn down because of woke.
Well.
But, right?
Yeah.
But I think they should find a word that begins with H. To add into that acronym there. So instead of CEW clinics.
Whoosh.
Chew clinics.
Hey.
Complications. Complications of health from excess.
Horizing.
No, complications of health from excess weight clinics.
Chew. I think it might be insensitive. I don't think it's woke. I think that's just insensitive.
Chew.
No.
It's just. I like when acronyms are words. That's all.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I do agree. Acronyms should, as possible, be words.
Actually, sort of technically speaking, all acronyms are words. Otherwise, it's got to be. You got to be able to read it out. Otherwise, it's not an acronym.
I don't think you can read out C E W.
C H E W.
No, but
so then it's an initialism.
But okay, right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You learn things on this podcast.
I
huh?
do.
Q. Anyway, C E W clinics. They looked at them. So a high proportion of patients supported by CEW clinics have a neurodevelopmental disorder such as autism or a learning disability. So that's 24 and 23% respectively.
So they're overrepresented for the amount of people who have those conditions in the normal population.
Yeah.
The rest of the population.
Yeah.
The average population.
Jesus, Luke.
I just shouldn't have said...
Feels like you're really digging a hole.
I shouldn't have said normal population.
Oh, is that what...
That's why I was changing it.
Do you know the concept of skim reading?
Yeah.
I skim listen to you on this podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're just... Because you're just waiting to say your next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I engage in all conversation. I don't listen. I just wait to see when people's lips stop flapping, and then I say the thing I was going to say anyway. It's great. I love it. I'm a really good listener. I've got to listen out for when they stop talking.
When it ends.
Yeah, I've got to get in there immediately. It's really...
Sometimes I pause to sneeze, and you're just like, so anyway, my point was...
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, why are you interrupting me with that awful sneeze? How dare you? I'd already started talking.
I'm allergic to your bullshit.
I don't bullshit at all. So anyways, a significant proportion of children, this is a I'm reading this verbatim from, I don't know, some NHS publication or whatever. You'll see the links in the description. A significant proportion of children and young people had major health complications, such as metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. Bloody hell, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Mm. Hey!
Oh, no.
Chew clinics! Oh. We're back!
No. You deserve all the bad comments.
What? Okay. I'm not attaching a value judgment to any of this. And I'm not even... I haven't even explicitly said that obesity is caused by overeating. Like, that's
I think
just,
you've implied it.
No, I've implied it what, through maybe a joke.
We should call it the
joke.
Nom 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 Clinic.
That's bad. I saw CEW and wanted to add an H because it sounds much easier. It's much easier to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just so happens that it has an overlap with sort of a misinformed view of obesity, which I myself do not hold.
But you did invoke.
Look, man, if we're going to sit around and quibble who invokes what, that I don't think there's much point in having a podcast, Luke, okay? I should be free to say whatever I want with zero consequences.
And you're also free to put words in my mouth for the first 20 minutes.
I can put whatever I want in your mouth. With consent.
You may not.
With consent.
That's a meaningless sentence.
That's not a meaningless sentence. Oh, consent is meaningless to you. Huh? Wow, look up for immigrant hater.
I'm
consent
going
hater.
What?
Anti-insanity, Luke Cutford.
I feel like I'm in some kind of torture chamber.
Anti-torture, Luke Cutford.
Yeah,
wow.
Okay, I'm going to come out and say I'm pretty anti-torture, sure. That's the one I'll stick with.
Pretty.
You know, vaguely.
I'm anti-pretty torture, as in only torture the uglies. Do what you want to the uggos, the pretty folk like me, and you on a good day.
I only need that list of who hurt you so I can keep you away from the next time we record.
This is a cry for help. That's all it is. Yeah, no, so like it's basically if you're overweight, you're more likely to be poor, autistic, and all that sort of nonsense, you know.
Presumably the other way around in terms of causality.
Well, yeah.
Well, they may be like, they loop around a little bit and sort of...
Yeah, being overweight causes autism. That sounds about right to me.
Okay.
Being fat makes you poor.
What's the name of the Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, is it?
Which
is
RFK, yeah. What about him?
Yeah, well...
What about him and his fantastic views? Do you want to talk about his views on vaccines, Luke?
Oh.
Do you want to talk about his brain worm, or do you want to talk about the time he just dumped a bear in the street? Or do you want to talk about any of the other crazy shit that he's done?
Do you know anything about his brain worm?
He had a worm in his brain.
Yeah, but like, did it actually... Because like, that's kind of, you know, a lot of the stuff he says is nuts, right? And like, pretty much everything he says at the moment is nuts. And, you know, you kind of want to suggest that maybe that's partially because of the brain worm. But then that feels like, well, maybe it's not. Maybe he just is... That's what he believes anyway. And he had a brain worm.
Yeah, I think... Well, the worm was dead in his brain. So I reckon he's so crazy that it killed the worm.
Yeah. It ate the brain.
Nuts. It's like mad cow disease. Except
I'm literally a brain-eating worm and even I can't digest this.
A tiny little gun in there with the worm and it's just shot.
I think that would be really... Some cartoon needs to steal that and make it into a bit.
The Simpsons will make it into a bit about 2 years after it was relevant.
Great.
Yeah. They've got a long production cycle, Luke, you know.
Well, they've got 4 years whilst it's still relevant.
Relatively, yeah. Unless RFK dies in that time, which, you know, he's a Kennedy, so...
Jeez.
What?
No, yeah.
No,
sure.
I just say he's just a Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
And we all know what happens to Kennedys.
I mean, as Kennedys go, I guess worms are the least of their problems of things that are in their brain. I felt sick halfway through saying that.
So, what can you do to deal with overweight children?
How do you solve a problem? Like, what can you do? Lots of things. You
can tie them up.
Figure out why.
Kick them down a hill.
Like, because there's lots of reasons why someone might be overweight that's not just... as you alluded to, like eating too much food.
Ship them across the sea.
So figure out, like, do they have a thyroid issue? Do they have a psychological issue for why they are overeating? Like, are they using food as a comfort?
Drop them from space with a parachute.
Drop them from space with a parachute?
I'm just listing things you can do with overweight children.
Oh, like okay, go.
Not
like,
going to help
go
in any
cinema?
Way. Jesus, Luke.
What?
I'm talking about, you know, shipping them across the sea, dropping them from... giving them experiences that they've not had before. And you're like, oh, I'll take them to the cinema.
Yeah, well...
terrible person.
I can't get to space.
Okay, you can't get
You're them. Just going to give them a false promise of space and then not take them.
I'm not going to give them a false promise. If Tom Scott can put garlic bread in space,
yeah,
then I can get an obese child up there. I am sure of it.
What's your point? That you're like Tom Scott times 10,000?
No. Because...
No! No!
Explain that one there, Luke, huh? Whoa. Explain it.
What did Tom put in space again?
Garlic bread.
Okay, so yeah. One overweight child is not 10,000 garlic breads. Fine. Okay, I apologize. I rescind my statement.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Wow.
Woke will be coming for you, Luke.
Woke already came for me.
I'm not woke. I'm kind of like a, you know, middle ground.
Yeah, thank goodness you're not woke. I'm
not. I was woke, but I went back. I hit snooze. Clearly. Got back to sleep. Yeah. Yeah. My eyes were opened to sort of societal inequality. And I was like, rather we come go back to sleep again, actually. Just have a little nap. See if this all kind of blows over. So, Luke, these overweight children, what do you think the NHS did or is doing about them? You know this because I've told you already in this podcast episode that we're doing now.
Have we? Tested them?
No.
Okay.
Well, what's the topic of this episode?
Overweight children.
No, it's numberless scales.
Oh, what? Numberless scales. Okay, so the NHS gave them scales, but they took all the numbers off. So then they weren't overweight anymore because they didn't weigh anything because there were no numbers there.
They're technically weightless, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, it's just
that's
the
kind of fudging the numbers that bureaucracies normally do.
Send them to the moon. That's what I say.
You're so right.
Send every fatty to the moon.
And there's no food. So
Jesus, Luke! I am saying we can decrease their weight by sending them to the moon where their weight will naturally be lower. It's a natural weight loss technique. And you want to starve these children. You want to starve them.
I don't want to.
Oh, but you have to. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I see you.
I see what you are, Luke. Okay, yeah, baby bear ain't getting any porridge in this house. Luke's going to scarf down his food and then scarf down the babies too.
I'm going to start therapy and show them this episode.
Well, yeah, you fucking should because you are an evil, evil person, man.
They can diagnose me. They'll be like, that guy opposite you, he's totally normal. There's nothing going on there. But you, what's wrong with you?
You keep on saying you want to starve children and stuff. You say you hate immigrants, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know what to do here. I'm feeling, honestly, quite unsafe.
I'm so sorry for imposing myself upon you.
That's okay, man. It's okay. It's not me you've got to apologize to. It's all those fat little kids that you've got to apologize to. And their pudgy little faces.
Sending them to the moon?
No, that's fine. They love being on the moon for starving them on the moon. Okay?
Okay.
That's your prerogative. That's not mine.
What's wrong with me?
So the NHS did want to send them to the moon. Then they realized don't quite have the funding. And so they were like, let's give them scale so they can weigh themselves. And then they realized don't quite have the funding. So they just sent them cardboard that looks like a scale. And it's just got a little smiley face on.
Are you joking?
What do you think?
I really hope so.
Do you think things have gotten so bad in this country?
They couldn't afford scales.
They couldn't afford scales, and they've sent them just cardboard with a smiley face on.
Well, look, Mr. Big Daddy Science,
mm-hmm.
I just believe what you say.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a numberless scale, so why wouldn't, if it doesn't have numbers on it, why can't it be made of cardboard if it's pointless anyway?
It's not.
I thought it was like a placebo thing. They like step on the cardboard scales every morning, and that like makes them go, "Ooh, I'm going to think about making like healthy choices to lose weight today." And then that makes the placebo happen, and then they do. I don't know. I'm making it up as I go along. I'm just trying to rationalize the stupid stuff you say.
That's fucking hilarious. I do love that, and I want to try that.
Yeah, I think it might work. More study is needed.
Let's round up some obese kids and do our own study.
We'll run an art class first, where they all draw their own set of scales, and then they can stand on them every day.
Good. I should
work in fake news. I rationalized that nonsense so quickly. It was great.
Yeah, you'd be really good at Fox. I'll say that. Okay. Scrap the movie stuff. It's not gonna happen. Okay. Go be a Fox News correspondent. You've got the right color.
And I already hate immigrants. According to you.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I think it is, but it's rather quiet this time.
Well, Luke, we want to keep a big old secret about this Sci Guys merch.
Yes. please do not tell anybody and do not purchase any of it. Otherwise, people will find out.
They might see you wearing our merch or displaying our merch and think, oh, wow, what a cool person. And I'll tell you this, as a cool person myself, having people think you're a cool person can be very, very stressful.
Yeah, we can't have that. And we also can't have you supporting the show to exist that you're enjoying right now.
Yeah, so absolutely, under no circumstances should you go to normalcitizen.store and pick up some Sci Guys merch. Some Sci Guys merch like beanies and posters and t-shirts and calendars and cool stuff like that. Definitely don't go to that store and buy that.
Goodness me, that's an awful lot of stuff that I'm not going to purchase.
Absolutely, Luke. Now let's get back to the show before anyone listens to us.
God, I really hope we got away with that one.
Okay, look, so as I was saying, the NHS sent numberless scales to a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like fake scales that didn't work. The scales did work. They just couldn't see what the number
right.
was.
Right. So they're not being emotionally affected by the number on the scales,
yeah.
but the spy scales still get to send the data back to the Kremlin, or in this case, the NHS.
Just the NHS boffins, you know.
In the Kremlin.
Yeah. That's how it works. Russia is actually, Russia might be getting into, no, it's America that's getting into the, I'm not really up to date on which country is destroying which health system, okay? But rest assured that one of them is doing it to at least one other.
America's doing it to ours, and they're also doing it to their own.
They don't have a health system, Luke. They cannot, you cannot destroy what does not exist. Like Donald Trump's integrity doesn't exist, so you can't get to it. No, the way that this kind of works is they did a sort of trial with, I think, 15 ish, maybe about 15 CEWs. What's a CEW?
Complications, excess weight.
Yes, a complication from excess weight clinic.
Yep.
So
they did it with 15 clinics or with 15 people?
15 clinics.
And the NHS could afford all those scales. Very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wow. It was a pilot scale study, and then they scaled it up. There's not really a joke there.
They did
there.
It all on pilots. That's
yeah,
amazing.
A pilot scale.
That must have cost a lot.
No. The pilots are the scales.
Oh.
You stand on a pilot, and he's like, oof.
Woof!
5 stone.
No, he's
very small.
He doesn't
child.
Say the number.
Oh no, he doesn't.
He's
he whispers it. He whispers it into his little headset.
Into his little Russian spy headset.
Five stone.
That's really underweight, actually, isn't it?
Well, it depends how big you are.
Yeah, well, I mean that.
As in, like how?
Oh,
old
as
you
how
are.
Tall?
Like you might be a baby.
Old. Yeah, that's very overweight for a baby.
Yeah.
5 stone baby.
That's why they're in the clinic.
How do you get a baby to that size? How much is 5 stone in kilograms? 5 stone. In kilograms.
I expect like 25?
31.
Wow.
Yeah. How much does a baby weigh?
My baby weighs, I don't know, I think 8 kilograms.
What about if your baby comes back and watches this,
yeah.
and then is like, oh no.
My privacy.
I've been doxxed. My weight has been doxxed. And now I feel bad about how I was as a baby, you know?
Yeah.
What if I can't get back to that weight?
I'll take her to one of these clinics.
I mean, by the time that she's old enough, they'll probably just be popping like Wee Gubby into
yeah,
kids' mouths.
Yeah, won't exist anymore. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if we survive that long, like 15 years.
The cockroaches won't be running the NHS.
It's a pilot study at 15 clinics, about 350 patients. So the scales are like smart scales, and they connect to a mobile app that gives you sort of like, I guess, a graph or a sort of indication of the trend of your weight rather than the individual
cool.
values. Yeah. And it also gets sent to the boffins at the lab, otherwise known as the clinical team for the patient. You know,
Dimitri
their doctors.
And his friends.
Okay, let's stop with this Kremlin stuff.
I agree. We should stop with this Kremlin stuff.
Okay, I don't want Russia being any more angry at me than they currently are. Okay?
I don't want Russia being any more either.
Jesus, Luke.
Well, the Kremlin specifically.
You're anti-Russia now?
I'm not anti-Russia.
You're
anti-Russia. I'm anti that guy.
Whoa, look at me. I'm Luke Cutforth and
love
I hate
Russia. Love the other people. The people there, most, some of them, I think, are quite nice.
Yeah, I think they could stand to slow down a little bit, enjoy life. Because they're always Russian, Luke.
Oh, good. Yeah, they're always rushing around. Specifically within Russia at the moment. I don't think there are many who can leave.
Yeah. Well, no.
There's a lot of places to rush. To be fair,
they can't get back in as well.
Oh, really?
I can't talk any more about this.
Oh, okay.
For national security reasons.
For national? Okay.
Not my national
Prime
security.
Minister.
Whoa! Hold on.
Yeah.
I didn't say that it was my national security.
Well, you're not a nation.
Says who, Luke? Don't nation shame.
You said earlier I wasn't a group.
You're not a f-ing group.
You're
okay?
Not a nation.
A nation can be one person.
Can it?
Probably.
No man is an island, Corey.
Yeah, but not all nations are islands, Luke. God, get your head out of this UK GB bubble. All right, so the NHS, they're weighing a bunch of kids, right? The kids don't know how much they weigh, but they see the trend on the scales, and so they feel more gooder about themselves for not seeing a little number that they attach all of their, you know, worth to. Mm-hmm. So that's good, isn't it?
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice for the...
for them?
For the kids.
Good for them. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Sorry.
They now just attach themselves to the graph as opposed to the number.
Yeah. But fat kids are often cuter, right?
Adorable.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we should be doing the opposite. I think we should...
No, Corey.
Here's no look.
No. Nope.
Trust me.
No. Nope.
What I'm about to say is fully serious.
Yeah.
Okay? And if anyone wants to pull me up on this at any point in the future, you know, if you sift through this podcast looking for problematic things that I have said, this is something I can guarantee I will always stand by.
Okay.
Okay? And it's not a joke either.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not for comedic purposes. This is a serious moment. I'm on my soapbox. I think we should institute a national sort of, project or national, what's the word for sort of, whatever.
Scheme?
A national scheme whereby we fatten up kids.
Okay.
Get them all nice and pudgy and tubby and
cute. You're the witch from Hansel and Gretel, aren't you?
Hear me out.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to eat any of the children, okay?
What a relief.
Not until they fully matured, at the very least. Child meat is just not tasty. Anyways, we fatten up all these kids, get them all cute, and look at the little guy, it's so cute and stuff, until they get to the point where, you know, they have self-esteem or whatever it is, you know, when they grow a brain, consciousness, and all that. So maybe like, I don't know, like 10, that's when they stop being cute anyway, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a 10-year-old is far less cute than like a 9-year-old, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
No, like a 9-year-old causing mischief, you're like, oh, you. A 10-year-old doing it, you're like, you little shit.
Grow up.
Yeah, grow up. You think you're fucking Bart Simpson? Kick you in the teeth. That's what I do whenever I see a 10-year-old that's pissing me off, okay? So then we get them onto WeGovy at about the age of sort of 10. God.
Okay.
And so they've got this beautiful, cute little phase where they're cute little pudgy kids. And then we slim them down to the nationally... agreed upon ideal weight for all children.
I mean, basically what you just did there is you advocated for the thing that conspiracy theorists think the pharma industry is doing anyway.
Honestly, Luke, every single national scheme I have is a conspiracy theory. And that's nothing to do with anything that I'm, you know, nothing to do with me. It's just the fact that every f***ing thing is a conspiracy theory.
You're going to stand up for Prime Minister and you're going to be like, guys, these conspiracy theorists... Sure, none of the stuff they're saying is true, and you know they're a bit nuts, but they've got some great ideas.
Look,
we should do some of. We should take a look.
That's a great thought. I would never make it to Prime Minister because I wouldn't become an MP. Because the second I tried to do any campaigning, this podcast would just be mined for all of the things that I've said.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah, yeah. 6 years of just
unhinged, unfiltered.
I think I've been relatively hinged. I'm like a wonky door, okay? Not entirely unhinged.
Maybe one hinge.
But like, you know, there's one screw that's hanging in there.
Just about swing.
you gotta lift it and kind of barge it with your shoulder if you want it to, you know, like, no. Kind of turn the handle a bit. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Right.
See my space work just there?
So you're bad.
How would you rate it?
Your space work, as like you're acting, like you're like a clown.
Well,
like a mime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Great podcast thanks. Material. Yeah.
Okay, most of the time I forget we're doing a podcast for comedic effect. That time I genuinely forgot. So the idea here is that you don't tell the kids how much they actually weigh because it makes them feel sad about themselves and they get like, you know, stuck around it. It's like, you know, when you give magazines to teenage girls and the magazines tell them, you're fat and ugly. Smoke
like that Bo
and wear
Burnham
makeup.
Song.
Exactly like the Bo Burnham song. Yes.
Read them and hate yourself, then pay me to tell you I love you.
That's like your whole MO, isn't it?
Excuse me?
No, that's how you made your millions.
I didn't charge for meet and greets ever.
And when you made your millions, when you were, you know.
Made my millions.
Yeah, when you made your millions as a YouTuber.
Sorry, I have a really funny side story of this. By the way, I did not make millions as a YouTuber. A really funny side
billions,
story.
Billions then.
Sorry, yeah, okay. A really funny side story of, wait, shall I save this?
Or for the Patreon.
For the Patreon?
Yeah, save it for the Patreon.
Okay, I'll give a little tease though, which is when people Google your net worth, and then when those people happen to be friends of yours.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
We'll send you Patreon.
Fantastic.
Because I also don't want that public. It's really funny.
Yeah. This is what I was saying, maybe the last or a few Patreon episodes ago, that like we are just now just hawking your stories.
Yeah.
From your life.
Hey, I've got loads. This brain's too full. I need to dump some of it.
So if you want, I guess, the dirt on YouTubers, and that dirt, bear in mind, is like 15 years old. Wait, how old? Yeah, but 15 years old. How old are we? 10 years old?
I'm not
doing... I don't know. Go to our Patreon. Luke will be doing an exposé on everyone.
No, I won't.
Gleam Team.
I've never done
going
that.
Down.
What the
okay?
hell? I don't.
UK British boys.
Stop.
Going down.
No, I'm not doing YouTube dirt on the Patreon, to be clear.
He has to say that legally.
Yeah.
But he's doing it. I can assure you.
No.
It's all he does.
No.
So these little kids, Luke, I can't really give you much information because I don't know if there's any like data from the pilot study, but it's happening, and I don't know, I think it's a decent idea because people are really always worried about their weight, and like obesity is a bit of a problem, like being obese and having health complications from that, like diabetes and all of the other things, that we've spoken about in our episode on obesity that you can go and watch.
Okay.
Back when we were actually educating people sometimes. Who's learning anything from a fucking podcast? Read a book. No. No. Listen to the podcast.
You used to read the book for me.
Never read any fucking books, man. You'd know that if you read the book.
The general thing of this podcast for a while was that basically I would read one book and then I would apply the things I had read in that book to like every scenario for about 6 months.
That is true.
And then I'd read another book. And then I'd do that again.
You would have like whiplash if you did that 50 books a year challenge. Like every week you'd have a completely new outlook on life, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so giving kids weightless scales can help them, lose weight, apparently.
I guess it would still make them sad if they felt like the graph was going the way they didn't want it to go, though.
Yeah, weirdly, I don't think it says anything about that. I don't know a lot of the specifics, but it is overall better than just seeing a number, because it's trends as well, right? Like, your weight fluctuates throughout the day, can fluctuate throughout the week, but, like, if it's trending in a direction, and also the fact that it's you're being reinforced by, like, not focusing on a number and then feeling bad about yourself and then, reacting to that. You are probably more likely to trend in a positive direction, especially when
you're in a negative direction.
You're at positive in terms of good. Look, Jesus Christ, you quibbling with all the words. What I'm saying is, if you're going to a CEW clinic, you're probably going to be losing weight because, like, you've got a medical team involved. Do you know what I mean? It's not just like I'm going on a crash diet sort of thing.
Yep.
It's, you get a diet from the dietitians or whatever.
I suppose what's also nice about this is that if you had like some small amount of progress, right? But like if you knew the numbers, you would be like, oh, this is pointless because it's barely working.
Yeah.
But if you have the numberless scale, actually you might have an amount of progress that you would consider like basically
inconsequential.
Inconsequential, yeah, exactly. But then, because you're just seeing slight downward trend, you then actually feel better about it and you stick to the program better. And then maybe that then snowballs a little bit and you start losing weight that you would consider more consequential, but you didn't know that the weight you were losing before was inconsequential. And now you stick with the program, which is really lovely.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they also look into sort of the causes of childhood obesity and everything. There's here's some stuff from Ibby, who was severely bullied about her weight and height at school, and has been attending Sheffield's Children NHS Foundation Trust.
Oh, I love that place.
CEW clinic for about 2 years now. And so this isn't, I don't think she's necessarily in the program, but this is more about the CEW clinic on its own.
My mother calls that place my second home, by the way, the Sheffield Children's Hospital, because when I lived in Sheffield, I used to just always end up in the hospital.
That makes total sense. Just you taking apart all your little gadgets and gadgets and blowing up in your face. And
nah, it's more like I had a skiing accident.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that you went outside.
I got really drunk.
How were you so cool as a child? And then now...
I got all the cool. I used up all my cool.
I see.
But yeah, literally, like, I'm 31 now and we drive past it and she'll go, "Ooh, is your second home?"
That's a really funny way to say, like, "Haha, my parenting allowed for you to be injured." No, I'm joking. Your mom's great. And she clearly did a fine job of parenting you. I mean, there's only so much you can polish at her.
Wow. I was about to say in the first half of the sentence, I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me, Corey. And then you then made it less nice again.
I spoke at your bloody wedding.
You read a quote from somebody else.
Yeah, it didn't say anything nice about you either, but I spoke at your wedding.
We gave you the quote. You didn't even pick it.
You gave it to me like 2 days before. Then I spoke to your wife and she told me that you were supposed to give it to me like 6 months before.
That is a separate point. But it is true. Yep. That's 100% true.
I mean, I was honored, but I didn't really have enough time to process the honor. Oh, God, there is a picture of me reading that, and my ass looks amazing. It's just, it looks brilliant. The one issue is I did forget to cut the bits on my suit, so it was still sewn up a little bit. But my ass looked fantastic. Speaking of fat asses.
Wow.
No.
What a segue.
Obese kids have fat asses.
Sure.
And I'm talking positively about my fat ass.
Okay. Yeah, so, logically, it's fine. It just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, actually, I just realized they're kids. No, not fat ass in a sexual sense. Just
I know.
Just logically.
Your fat ass was in a sexual sense, and these kids are overweight.
Yeah, and segueing from my hot fat ass,
which
is, yes, in a sexual context, to a non-sexual context of a neutral fat ass child.
That actually wasn't why I found it weird, but it's
okay.
It just is weird in another way. But good job.
Just in case woke.
Accidentally.
Just in case woke.
Yeah.
Just in case woke comes for us, I'm just explaining the logic behind that segue and why it's actually okay.
Yeah. Well, jokes are always good when you explain them.
So these fat ass kids.
Yeah. Sorry. Carry on.
They're being helped by these scales. Is that bad? Is that bad?
They're being helped by them.
Yeah, no, they're like, as in, so the scales are having a real positive effect. And, you know, going to these clinics is really good. So, like, as I was saying, that Ibby, who is a teenager who was being bullied for her weight and, like, went to one of these clinics, she said, "I have to say it was the best decision I ever made. Obviously, I don't know. I didn't know that at the time. I really didn't want to go because I felt like I was going to be judged and told that I was fat and needed to lose weight in a certain amount of time, but it was totally the opposite. In my first appointment, I've never felt so included as I did with them. They made me feel welcome, included, and so positive about achieving the goals I wanted to achieve." Which is really good, though, because, you know, you hear stories of people going to the doctor for some ailment, and the doctor says, "Yeah, but you're fat, though, so fix that, and then, you know, maybe we'll decide to treat you."
They do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and there is a medical reason for it, because being overweight has loads of side effects. So they're like, "We need to eliminate this side effect first, this possible cause first." That's the logic. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying that's the logic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're also just dicks.
Yes and no. They're dicks.
They're dicks as well. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, being obese can put you at risk for some things, but saying, "Okay, just lose weight," is something that is notoriously hard to do and also maybe not necessarily help medically.
Like, yeah, whilst you might have cancer or something.
And we're not going to look into any. Yeah. That's not. That, yeah. The reason for it is kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can justify it by saying, "Oh, there are complications." But if there are other complications, you don't want to eliminate obesity first when you can just run a test. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop being a dick, doctors.
Yeah. More like dictors, am I right? Got him. So that is this sort of story, I guess. We'll find out if this works at some point in the future, or maybe we won't. I'll probably forget about it. Anything else you want to say, Luke? There's no time, Luke! There isn't any time! It's the end of the bloody episode, isn't it?
You always get me with that. Yeah. I always have a good monologue planned, but then...
Oh, no, go
whisked
ahead.
Away.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say how uncomfortable I felt.
There's no bloody time, Luke! I told you already! We're at the end of the episode. We've got to keep on moving. Stop wasting the time, Luke. Stop it. That is it for this episode. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Cody Miller, Rev Lunar, and Glitch Rabbit. Subscribe to new episodes every Monday. You can find our merch, our Patreon, everything and all of that at SciGuys.co.uk.
That's SciGuys.co.uk. SciGuys.co. Both of them work.
SciGuysPod.co.uk and SciGuys.co.uk. We got SciGuysPod. Because it works better with the outro thing.
SciGuysPod.co.uk.
But I keep on forgetting it because I don't use that link. That link exists exclusively for that jingle.
Goodbye.
Bye.